Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruits thereof. Thus, in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath unto the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of itself, of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, and the grapes of thy undressed vine thou shalt not gather. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be for food for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy stranger who shall sojourn with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be for food. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And there shall be unto thee the days of 7 Sabbaths of years, even 49 years. And I laugh when I read this verse. If you cannot figure out how long the period is, then there is no hope. Verse 9. Then shalt thou send abroad the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye send abroad the trumpet throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In this year of jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buy of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not wrong one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the crops he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of the years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years thou shalt diminish the price of it, for the number of the crops that he sell unto thee. And ye shall not wrong one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore, you shall do my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield its fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, What shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat of the fruits, the old store, until the 9th year, until its fruits come in, ye shall eat the old store. And the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession you shall grant a redemption for the land. Now look at verse 38. I am the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. Now, look over at verse 54. And if he be not redeemed by these means, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the ideas that thou dost introduce us to from the Word of God. Some of the things are foreign to us. Let us know that the spiritual things in your Word would seldom enter our minds, and let us know that these physical commands that you give would never enter our minds either. Let us know our hearts. We are thankful, Father, that by giving us these scriptures, we understand thy heart. Father, we know how we look upon life and our fellow man. We see how you would have us to look upon our fellow man, how to regard you. So, from these injunctions given to the children of Israel so long ago, let us know what they mean to us today. Thou hast told us, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And therefore, Father, these things written aforetime, they're for us, thou hast told us. So let us find that comfort and instruction, and let us be edified, we pray. We thank you for every blessing that has been ours this day, the fellowship of the saints, the opportunity to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and now again, for the meeting of thy people and the opening of thy word, we are here. Empower thy servant and enlighten those who listen. Bless, we pray, as we confess our sins, trusting you to be faithful and just to be given cleansed, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mentioned that I preach this message once every 50 years because this is my 50th year as a child of God. Who would have ever thought that so long ago the Savior I trusted would still be my Savior? He would be more precious today. And after having examined him and the Word of God for 50 years, if the Lord said to me, as he said to his disciples in John chapter 6, would you also go away? I would have to answer, Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And having been saved 50 years, I said, it is appropriate to speak on the subject of Jubilee. And that is what I am doing tonight. Because I am 50 in respect of years physically, and I am 50 in respect of years spiritually. So God brought me into the world 69 years ago, and God brought me into his family 50 years ago, March the 27th, 1946. So understand, the things are not exact for this reason. What happens is there were 49 years, and then the 50th year was celebrated. But I waited until I had known Christ as Savior for 50 years, and then I started preaching. So this is the 50th year, but going on my second 50 years. Now, what is interesting about this is the Israelite, to him it was a physical thing, and it may be that in his lifetime he would live to experience two of these years of Jubilee. Let us say that when he was 10 years old, the first year of Jubilee came around. Then he could expect to live 50 more years. And even today, if he were 20 or 25 years of age when the first year of Jubilee came around, he could expect probably to live to see the second year of Jubilee. But there were very few who would live to see 3 years of Jubilee. And just as I told you, unless I have in me some of the genes of Methuselah, the next year of Jubilee, I will not be gathered with my family down here, but with my family up there. And who can complain? You see, those who have trusted Christ as Savior have the best in both life, both lives. This is what our Savior said. He spoke about the blessings to those who had followed him. Peter said, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. What shall we have? He said, in this life, you shall have 100-fold for everything that you've given up for me, and also in the life to come, eternal life. So that's the best of both worlds. He brings us into a spiritual family on earth, and then he tells us that when we leave this world, there is a family we go to in heaven. And it used to be this way, I think, as I grow older, because as a child, there were so many people that were older than I was. And when I was a little boy, my father and mother were living, and my grandfather and grandmother were living, and my great-grandmother was living. But then, that barrier between me and drawing near to God, it gradually faded away. My great-grandmother died, and then my grandmother, and then my father, and my mother, and my sister. And as I think, there is no barrier now between me and others. I used to see all of those to whom I could go for wisdom, but now they're all gone. And the people underneath are looking at me as I used to look at those old people, my father and grandfather and my great-grandmother. All of those, you thought of them as old. So this is what happens. And as every year of Jubilee came around, here is a little boy, and let's say he's 10 years old, and here is his father who is still living, and his father is experiencing perhaps his second Jubilee. And then the next Jubilee comes around, and his father is gone, and he's looking at his child, as one time he as a child looked at his father. So the Lord would have us to think of all of these things. Now, I said in my prayer that some of the thoughts in the Word of God are thoughts that would never enter into the heart of man. The spiritual things, no. The Lord Jesus said, if I told you earthly things and you understand not, how shall you understand if I tell you heavenly things? And so there are some earthly things that man would never perceive, that man would never bring into legislation except by the commandments of God. So let me ask you this. Suppose I have a choice piece of land, and you could buy that land from me. Tell me, would you ever want to give it back to me? Would you say, I think that after so many years, why, I'm going to give this land back to you? You say, no. I would want to get more land. But never, if I had land, would I want to give it back. That's why this is of God. And if you have a man working for you, and he was doubly the worker of a hired servant, and you had him to work for you all these years, would the time come when you would say to him, now, I want to free you. I want you to go your way. I don't want you to work for me anymore. You would find that it would be a difficult thing. And also, how many of you in your lifetime have ever, 1 out of 7 years, let your land lie fallow and not sow, not do any work, just forget about it and trust God to bring in a crop for you? Why did it ever enter your mind to do that? He said, those thoughts are foreign to me. Of course they are. And that is why God inserts them in His Word. That's why we know they are of God. Because man never would have thought of them. His heart is one of selfishness, and he wants more. And the prophets are constantly rebuking the people that are adding one lot to another, trying to enslave those round about them, wanting to gain possessions to get richer. And the prophets have to rebuke them for that. And so, in this portion, God says, what I'm going to do is to put an end to it. And he says, it is all going to begin when I bring you into the promised land. So when they come into the promised land, because notice, return to the land, they had no land. Until they went into the promised land and it was divided under Joshua, they had no land to which to return. But then it was distributed to the tribes. This is for the tribe of Judah, this for Reuben, this for Simeon, this for Issachar, and all the land was divided. And starting then, once the land was theirs, then there was set into motion this period for the year of Jubilee. Now, think of this, that when this happened, all the Israelites that came in, there was a fair division of the land. It was arranged according to God's division. And they all started out equal. Here is land. Here is your family. Not one of you is a slave. You were slaves in Egypt, but I freed you. Everything starts equal. And everything would have remained equal except for what God anticipated, and He told them that, and our Savior comments on the very thing that we've read about here, because God thinks of a time when some of these Israelites are going to sell their land because they've grown poor. They're going to sell themselves because they have become impoverished. Now, God made this promise. He said, there shall be no poor in the land if you obey my commandments, if you keep my law. Think of that. God guaranteed there would be no poor in the land. But then immediately he added, he said, that in the year of Jubilee, all of the property that has been sold, it shall be given back to the one who originally owned it. It's like this. It says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. What an ideal. The next verse says, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the Father says, if you do what I tell you to do, there shall be no poor in the land. And then he says, that concerning the poor. And then he lays down law after law concerning the poor in the land. Now understand, God said, the poor you have, you'll have no poor if you do what I tell you to do. Now, in the upper room, when the ointment was brought and our Savior was anointed with it, and Judas Iscariot says, why was not this ointment sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor? Not that he cared for the poor. And the Lord Jesus said to them, leave the woman alone. He said, the poor you have with you always, but me you have not always. Do you see what the Savior said? He knew they weren't going to keep the law of God. And this is what he said in John chapter 7. He said, did not Moses give you the law? And none of you doeth the law. And so the Savior said, the poor you have with you always. And would someone come to him and say, ah, but what if they keep the commands of God? The Lord Jesus knew the heart of man. He knew too well. And so the poor you have with you always. What God does is to anticipate these things. And he ensures every seventh year. And then he ensures especially every 50th year certain turnabouts for men and possessions and credit. All of these things are going to be altered every seventh year and every 50th year. God insists on that. Now, every Israelite has hope. If he were a young man, and let us say that his father had lived in folly, and the inheritance that was to be his was not like that in Luke 15. The two sons said, the younger one, give me the inheritance that falleth unto me, and his father divided unto them his living. You'll find that some fathers who had sons, the fathers had sold the property. And here's a boy, 10 years old, and now he has no property. It belongs to another man. His father sold it. And so, his whole life long, he owns nothing. That is going to come to an end if he can live till the year of Jubilee. And when that year of Jubilee comes round, perhaps his father has already died. If his father was 40 years old and his son 20 years old, then his father has died. That his son is 70 years old, and finally the land reverts to him. That is the joy. And so there was hope in the heart of every Israelite if he could live for 50 years that what his father had lost. Or a man, if in his youth he received it. Do you remember that younger son of the father in Luke 15? He took everything that was his and he went into the far country and wasted it in riotous living. And it was all gone. Now, that man, if he had been living in these days, he would have to wait until the 50th year, and then everything that he had sold, had lost, would come back to him again. And if he had sold himself as a slave into bondage to one of his brethren in the land, then in that year of Jubilee, if it weren't until the 7th year or before, then when that year came around, he was freed as well. So what does it mean? It means if a man had lost everything, if he were in bondage again, if he were a pauper, it means that when the year of Jubilee came round, he was once again equal with all the Israelites, except according to wealth. Because the man that had purchased his property, he had been raising crops on that property for 30, 40, 50 years. And all of the wealth that was accumulated, that man kept the wealth. Now, the property went back to the man. And so they all started out equally at the first. But afterwards, a man that had planned, had lived before God, had cared for his property, that man had his property and he had other property as well. The property would revert to its original owner after 50 years, but not all the money that he had made after that property. And even when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, different ones had different things. Some only had material to give to the tabernacle. Some had brass, some had silver, some had gold, some had jewels. They were not equally wealthy when they came out of Egypt. But at least they were equally free and they equally owned property. They were landowners when they came out. And God said, every 50 years, it is going to happen again. And so I thought of this now. Think. Would you like a time in your life when you knew the Word of God, when you were at peace, when you were protected from your enemies, when you could look out over the land and say, it is mine, and at the same time, no one could command you because you were free? Would you not like to know a time when all of your family that had been scattered, you would all come back together and you would live with that family again? You say, that's a wonderful thought. And that is the thought that God gave the children of Israel, their hope, every 50 years. Now, what is so remarkable about this portion is that what I read you here is literal in Leviticus chapter 25. But do you realize that in Isaiah 61, and when Christ quotes that in Luke chapter 4, it is spiritually applied? And then in Romans 8:21, it is millennially applied. Because this, first of all, is literal, and then it is spiritual, and then eventually it shall be millennial. This is what God does. Whenever he takes a thing and gives it a physical significance, usually it will have a spiritual significance. Here is the mercy seat. That is a physical thing, but it also has a spiritual significance. It says in Romans chapter 3 that the propitiatory there, it's the same word as the mercy seat, and Jesus Christ is the mercy seat. So what God does is to show us things in a literal way, and then he tells us the spiritual significance, and then he gives us the millennial significance. So every Israelite can literally look forward to the fulfillment of this in his lifetime, and then this is the hope of us who are living today, that spiritually all of these things that I read you, the atonement, the liberty, the safety, the food, the security, the enjoyment of family, being a land owner, all of these things spiritually are our hope today, even though these laws do not apply to us in a literal way as they did to the children of Israel. And it says in Romans, and I will read this to you, and listen to it, because this is what God says. He says, the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. And I will read you this, because you will see the spiritual significance that we are told of in Isaiah. Here is the way he puts it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to anoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to appoint and give them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And this is spiritually fulfilled, because the Lord Jesus said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And it was not the literal fulfillment, but how many of us were poor? How many of us were broken hearted? How many of us were without any possessions? But now we've become heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are free. It says, all of us who are saved are the Lord's freed men, and therefore all things are yours. That is what Paul tells us. All things are yours. Life, death, this earth. Do you not realize that the Lord Jesus is heir of all things? As it says concerning Isaac, Abraham's son, the servant said, God has given my master a son in his old age, and he is heir of all things. All that the Father owns, he has given unto his son. And there is a Father in heaven who has given all things unto his Son. And it says in Romans that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is that spiritual enjoyment in our lives, even though there may not be that literal enjoyment in our lives. Because I waited 50 years, but alas, I did not come into the possessions that my father and grandfather had years ago. Let me tell you how strongly that was brought to mind when I started looking into my genealogy. My great-great-great-grandfather, you have to go through this. I speak it once every 50 years or every opportunity that I have. He owned 12,000 acres of land. And that land is now
divided among hundreds of people. It's not mine anymore. But since I am in direct line from him, and it's been passed down and down and down, then it would have come to me. But I do not own 12,000 acres of land. And then my grandfather, I was visiting a pond and a beautiful acreage that he had some months back. And I looked at it, and on his property were costly homes built all along. And I said to myself, just think, if this were my property, I could have sold them that land, and I could have had a home here. You see? But all of those things aren't mine, because I do not live under these conditions. And so the property that my ancestors had, it's gone. And then my father himself had much property, had much wealth. And then some of you are old enough to remember the year 1929, and then all that had things lost things. And alas, the year has never arrived when what he lost was given back to me again. But spiritually, the Lord Jesus tells us this, that if you are saved, you will get now in this life 100-fold fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, houses, land. And I understand the spiritual significance a little bit about that. Why, I come up here and move in on people, and I have a home up here in Pennsylvania, and then in Maryland, and so many places that I go. Whose homes are they? Why, they are your homes. But do you not understand that they are to be my homes as well? Do you not realize that when the Savior said 100-fold fathers and mothers, it must be spiritually. It must mean that there are mothers in Israel and fathers in Israel, and they are the ones who are to care for me. And there is one place that I can go, and there are still those, a barrier between me and those that are older than I am. When I went up to the Pittsburgh home, the retirement home, some years back, and spoke to them, I think at that time I was, say, 65 years old. And I said, is there anyone here as old as 65? And they all laughed, and they said, we can only think of one here young, 65. And they had some up 80, 90, 95, going on 100 years of age. And here were all of these dear ones, and it was a joy to be with them, fathers and mothers in Israel. And I rejoiced to be in their presence. Why? Because that spiritual relationship is similar to the physical relationship that we have with our parents of old. And some of those that are spiritually related to you can be dearer to you and more valuable to you than your own family. And so remember that. It should be, and it is true with reservations, that my home is yours and that your home is mine. And it speaks of houses and lands and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And so all of these things we are to experience spiritually, if not physically. But I was thinking of all of these things that would be so good in our lifetime, and thinking of the way that the Israelites started out the 50th year. Let me tell you a little bit about this. Inasmuch as the very day that it was to begin was the Day of Atonement, in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, was the Day of Atonement. And what would happen would be this. The priest would go through all his ritual as found in Leviticus chapter 16. And then when the Day of Jubilee began and the Day of Atonement ended, think, the Israelite standing at this time with all his sins forgiven, starting out with a clean slate for that year, because it began on the Day of Atonement. And 5 days later, this is what you will find in Deuteronomy chapter 31, that at the Feast of Tabernacles, every seventh year, at the end of 7 years, it says that the word of God was to be read. And so think of a man, knowing that his sins have been atoned for, knowing that he can now hear the word of God read to him, explained to him, the responsibilities, the privileges, all of these things given to him, when the 15th day of that same month came. And so he starts out this time with sins forgiven. He starts out with enlightenment. Think, what better way to start out? Your sins are gone, and now you have illumination to know how to live your life. Because this is what I'm thinking, and this is the tragedy, that some of those who did live to see a second year Jubilee, they would make the same mistakes again and never live to see 50 years in the future. That is the sad thing. How do I know? Look at your life and look at mine. Tell me, the things that you've done in the past and have smarted for, you forever put them away, or do you do the same things again? The folly continually turns over and over and over. But what should happen is this. I have a hope that if I had lost my land and had to wait so long for it, if I had sold myself and my family into slavery, and finally the year Jubilee came, I would hope that I would say, never again will this happen in my life. And this is what God wants us to experience. Because, think now, I told you about enlightenment and about atonement, and God says this, you can have rest for a whole year. You have to do absolutely nothing. All the labor on the farm, all the responsibilities of life, they are laid aside according to your ordinary pursuit in life. They are laid aside. And God said this. He said, also, you will eat and you will enjoy and you will have a family reunion and you will all come back to the homestead. And think of that. Think of where you were born and brought up, and then if it remained, if that was your family homestead, then after 50 years, everybody that was associated with that plot of land would come back to that same plot of land. So there is a return to the property, and then all of those who may have been slaves, then it ended, and it said all of them were to return as well. And so there was the reunion at the old homestead. There was the reunion with all of your friends and relatives and kinspeople that were associated with that area that God had given to the children of Israel. That was a consummate thing to desire, to thrill a man's heart. And you would say, having experienced this, it is so blessed, I will never depart from it. And yet the Lord Jesus says, the poor you have with you always. Now, I told you about enlightenment and things that were good from God. But if God was going to do so much, would you not expect the Israelite to at least render unto God a degree of obedience? You say yes. And so what did God demand of him? God said, I demand of you that every 7 year the land lie fallow. The land is to enjoy a Sabbath solemn rest. You'll find in 2 Chronicles 36, and you'll find from Jeremiah 25 and 29, that they never in the whole history of Israel obeyed God in letting the land have its Sabbath, that solemn Sabbath, on the seventh year. You say, well, then God is cheated out of it. God says, I'm not cheated out of it. He said, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar down, and he's going to take you away from that land that I gave to you, and is going to take you into bondage. And when you are taken captives, God said, the land will enjoy its Sabbath. So you remember that, child of God. Some of us are so clever. You see, God expects certain things of us. Certain time periods in our lives. Certain material things that we are to give to Him. Many things in our lives. But, you see, we keep them back from God. And we say, God can do without them. And now I have them to remind. God says, you think so? So what He does is eventually get everything that you should have given Him that you kept back. And so for 70 years, the captivity lasted. And had they given God every seventh year, then it would not have been necessary to send them into captivity for those 70 years. If God said, you did not give me the Sabbath, He said, I'm going to get my Sabbaths, and the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths. So, you think that you can hide from God, that you can deceive from God, and you think that you can steal from God? God says, I have my own ways. He has ways to send the enemy and claim what is rightly his. And at the same time, this is what is so thrilling. God said, I want you to recognize that if you will trust me, you will realize that I am the Lord of heaven and of earth. Why? He said, this is the promise that I make you. Every sixth year, I promise you a bumper crop that will last you the seventh year. I promise you that when you plant the eighth year, the crop will come forth and you will be safe until the ninth year. Now, what farmer could trust God that much? You say, but that sixth year might not be enough to last me. God said, I will promise you that the sixth year shall bring forth so abundantly that you will be safe until the ninth year. And they never trusted God for that. But that shows what God could do. As it says in Corinthians, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. And so what promise has God made that He cannot keep? The Israelites said, He cannot keep this promise. But God could have kept that promise. He could have caused the land to produce, to provide for them those years if they trust Him. And He showed them that He could have done it by sending Nebuchadnezzar down and letting the land enjoy its Sabbath. So these are a few thoughts about the year of Jubilee. Thank God for what we have to look forward to in that coming day. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that You give us things to think about that would never enter our minds. And we're so sad that You give us things to think about showing us what our hearts are. You tell us the life that is good and acceptable in Your sight, what You want to do for us, our way to enjoy life, to have rest and peace and good and safety and security and family love. And yet, Father, because of our disobedience, all of those things are not in our experiences. Our God, what glorious things You have planned for us, how few of them we enjoy. So as the Israelites disobeyed and did not trust Thee, we see what happened to them. So help us to come to our senses, Father, and to trust You, to give You the time, the material things, our hearts, our love, to render unto Thee ourselves and all that we have, because that is rightfully Thine. Did You not say, I've given You the land, but the land is mine, and you are free, and yet you are mine because I redeemed you. Let us remember who You are, that You are our Father, that You are our Master. Let us remember that all that we have, though You say it's ours, yet You tell us it is mine. Help us to learn from this year of Jubilee, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.